When Pose burst onto the scene in 2018, there had never been anything quite like it before. Here was a scripted TV series on a major network centering trans and queer Black and brown people and the New York City ballroom culture they cultivated in the 80s and 90s.
The category is love, y'all! DJ, drop the beat! Regulator!
The show became a hit for its bold depiction of joy and trauma of LGBTQ life amidst the backdrop of the AIDS crisis. Now, after three seasons, it's time to say goodbye to the beloved characters portrayed by MJ Rodriguez, Billy Porter, and the rest of the Pose family. I'm Aisha Harris, and today we're talking about Pose on Pop Culture Happy Hour from NPR. So, don't go away.
But the beauty is making me lightheaded, girl!
This message comes from NPR sponsor HBO Max, presenting Hacks, a new Max original series exploring the dark mentorship that forms between a larger-than-life legendary Las Vegas comedian and an entitled outcast 25-year-old writer. From the team that brought you Broad City, the co-creator of Parks and Rec, and starring Gene Smart, Hacks is now streaming on HBO Max.
Welcome back. Joining us is Travell Anderson. They are an entertainment journalist and the co-host of the podcast Fanti. Welcome back, Travell.
Hi, thanks for having me.
And making his Pop Culture Happy Hour debut is Sydney Ballou. Sydney is co-executive producer for the HBO series Legendary. He is also a writer, ballroom archivist, and a member of the House of Extravaganza. Welcome, Sydney.
Hello, hello. Thanks for having me.
Of course. I'm really excited to dig into this with you both. So season three of Pose jumps ahead a few years and plants us firmly in 1994. A lot has changed for all of the main characters. Blanca, played by MJ Rodriguez, is volunteering at the AIDS clinic and has decided to pursue a nursing degree. She's also finally in a happy relationship with a doctor named Chris, played by Jeremy Pope. Pray Tell, who is played by Billy Porter, has sunken into another deep depression and started drinking heavily again, while Angel, played by India Moore, and Poppy, played by Angel Bismarck-Puriel, are planning their wedding. And last but not least, Electra, played by Dominique Jackson, has found success running a phone sex operator business. It feels worth noting that the character Damon only appears in the first episode of this final season. The actor Ryan Jamal Swain reportedly decided to step back from the show after suffering a family tragedy last summer. In the script, Damon is said to have moved away to live with family following an alcohol relapse. Pose is created by Ryan Murphy, Stephen Canals, and Brad Falchuk, though Janet Mock has arguably emerged as the show's most prominent face and spokesperson from behind the scenes. She served as an executive producer, writer, and director of many of the episodes. We'll get a bit more into her involvement with the show later, but first, I'd like to ask you both about your reactions to the final season. Travell, why don't you kick us off?
I'm mad, okay? I am still upset, okay? I just feel like, you know when a show gets canceled and it feels unceremonious, you feel like this, the storylines are like sped up so quickly and they're trying to cram so much in. And that's what I feel like this final season is giving us. And don't get me wrong, I'm grateful to get into the backstory of Pray Tell or into Elektra's backstory, but it just feels so rushed this final season. It makes me want and wish that they had, you know, another season, perhaps. Maybe four would have been cute for them to, you know, stretch out as much as they wanted to. But yeah, this last season, it just doesn't feel right to me.
Yeah, no, I hear you on that point. That was one of my notes from this season, too, where it did feel as though there were some characters I would have liked to spend a little bit more time with, especially someone like Lulu, who's played by Haley Sahar. She kind of gets a sort of a storyline that merges with Angel's, but it also felt like there's so much time jumping happening this season, both forward and just months passing by and sometimes even years. I feel you, but I also... I kind of like this season. But Sydney, I'm curious to hear what you thought about it.
It's interesting because I'm also with you all of like, I wish we could have spent a little more time with some of the characters and developed some of their storylines more. But I'm also really hopeful, to be honest. I mean, I, as a member of the ballroom scene, it's so beautiful to see so many people I know represented. And also, I think the community, it's just been one heck of a ride, I think, for a lot of folks, just seeing the joy, the jubilation of just even, you know, our stories, people who are icons in our community being represented on TV. And so, like, I don't know, it's kind of bittersweet in a way of like, yes, as a TV show, it would have been nice for this series to have like, you know, a five season arc the same way many other series do. But at the same time, I think I just see it as like an opening in so many ways, not only for the ballroom community, but I think for trans representation, specifically of trans women of color. It's just like, we are in an unprecedented moment, you know, to even have this conversation. It's just, to me, I'm like, this is where we are. And this also says that we can go to so many other places right now.
Yeah. If you know me at all, or even just a little bit, you might know that I tend to be a little cynical, a little shut off, a little cold-hearted sometimes, whether I'm reviewing something or whether I am just like consuming something and taking it in. And this show is one of the few shows where almost every episode, if not every episode, I'm crying at least once. It's a very cheesy show. It is a show that indulges in inspirational speeches, lots of pep talks and highly emotional moments, and really just so much emotion. And it wears its heart on its sleeve, and it wears its feelings on its sleeve. And it really makes me well up a lot. And this season especially, I felt that, whether it was Pray Tell diving into depression again and trying to confront his fear about death, and the episode where he goes back home to visit his mom and his aunts and revisit the church that he grew up in and that he ultimately had to leave behind because he was not accepted. That episode was, to me, just from beginning to end, it dealt with everything. It dealt with the Black church. It dealt with being on the down low. All of these things that I think they've been explored in some ways within film and TV, but I'd never seen it quite like this. And I think there were just a lot of really fantastic moments like that. You know, I'm curious, you know, over the course of these three seasons, even if we didn't get to necessarily wrap up the characters in the way that we wanted to, do you feel as though these characters have grown since season one?
I think so. We definitely see a trajectory with all of the characters, even a character like Lulu, who is, you know, a little bit more behind the scenes. We've been able to see kind of just a shift and a growth in all of the characters. And I think it helps, right, that they've been jumping two or three years in between each season. So it kind of necessitates that, you know. I think being able to see Blanca in particular go through her relationship, lover issues in earlier seasons, and then now to be in this loving, supportive space in this final season is something really amazing to witness on TV.
Yeah, I would also say it's been really interesting to see just, again, everything that was happening at that time. I've always felt like Pose, first and foremost, was a political project. It's a beautiful, beautiful series, but it has this way of sort of weaving in what was actually happening in all of the, what I see as like silences as far as the way we think about history, the way we think about Black folks in the past, as well as like the LGBTQ community as a whole. So like really delving into like, what was the AIDS crisis like if you lived through it as a Black trans person? Also, you know, what is it like when you are a gay Black man in the 1980s and you are grappling with your mortality and grappling with what family actually means, both biological and chosen family? I think, to your point, Aisha, of like, you know, you'd never seen something like this before. To me, that's because it's never been from that perspective. What Pose has done is given us the perspective of people who never get to be at the center of our own stories. You know, I feel like this season especially was just very heavy laden with a lot of history, a lot of, you know, very specific details, especially about HIV and AIDS, which to me is like so important because we don't even get that in our textbooks. So in so many ways, it's like filling this gap that I feel like is so necessary and is just, you know, has been just silenced for so many years.
Yeah, it's striking to think about the way in which they weave in these facts, as you mentioned, Sydney, about the fight for, if not a cure, medication to help prolong lives. And the fact that we are now in this point where AIDS is kind of, right now in this moment, has receded in the background, and there are people who are living with AIDS and can live with AIDS. It's no longer a death sentence like it used to be. And it does seem worth noting that Billy Porter himself recently came out to say that he has been living with HIV for several years now. And even then, and it was only just a few years ago when he was diagnosed, he felt the shame and the stigma. And so when that Hollywood Reporter spread came out, that discussion with him, and he talked about it, I realized how much of himself was in the character of Pray Tell. I had already seen the whole season. And so I was just thinking about it and thinking about the way in which he was able to draw from that experience without the cast and crew even knowing that this was him. So I think it's really, really crucial to talk about the way in which the show does such a good job of weaving those things in. When we talk about the fact that this is a very political show, there are also many moments in the show that I've noticed, and I'm sure other people have noticed, where there are definitely villains. You know, the first season was heavily focused. It was these characters, but then there was also these storylines with the white characters, including Angel's sort of sugar daddy, who she was dating at the time. And Patti LuPone played a pretty evil villain last season. But there's also been characters who have come along, and they are sort of the avatar for the cis straight people who initially rejected these characters and come back and say, well, I'm really sorry. They express regret. Sometimes it's too late. In the case of Candy last season, when she was killed, it was kind of done, that reconciliation was done after she had died. What do you think about these moments? I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I wonder if it could be seen as something that is more or less pandering to people like myself who are cis and straight versus it being a more hopeful thing or a way of including people?
I mean, I think it could be both. I think it is pandering because it is TV and, you know, folks love that type of good feeling type of reconciliation, even if it happens, you know, after the person dies. And we do know, right, that that does represent some of our community's experience, right? It is only until we die that our families sometimes feel, you know, remorse, or they want to, you know, atone for their behavior. But I also think it is accurate to what people actually lived, right? The ways in which folks were disposed of and are disposed of by our biological family. I think one of the things I love about Pose is that it's obviously drama. It's obviously campy because that's what Ryan Murphy does. And you have those extended monologues, right, that are meant to pull at your heartstrings. But it also is so very rooted in fact and real life. And I think that's ultimately what connects and resonates with people.
I think for me, one thing I think with Pose is it's very reparative, you know, reparative about our history in the sense of like, this may not be how things actually happen, but what if it actually went down like that, you know? And that's actually something that I think is really powerful that you can do with a medium like television, is you can go into that kind of like historical fiction, historical fantasy of like, well, what if you could actually reconcile with family in this kind of way? And I actually see that as an invitation. Mm-hmm. Like, here's how you should show up for trans people. Here's how you should show up for gay Black folks in the world, you know, especially I think for people to recall those memories, you know, who lived through that time period. I really think the episode with Billy Porter, I think it was episode the fourth one, Take Me to Church. This was so powerful, not only for the incredible cast, like Jack A. Harry, Anna Marie yes. Horsford, Janet yes. Hubert. Mm-hmm. I was living, okay? Let me put that out there. It was not only phenomenal acting, and obviously Billy Porter really pulling, as you said, Aisha, from, you know, his own history. But for me, that was a moment to really kind of indict, like, the very straight, cis, hetero church community of, like, where were you? And also, where mm-hmm. are you, you know, today? Because I think there's just, again, like the silence of like, well, where was the community at the time? And also, where are we today? And in those moments of difficulty, sometimes people don't know what to do. And this is kind of what the power of media is it gives you a script, quite literally, mm-hmm. of like, here's a way that you should show up for people who are vulnerable in the world. And like, let's delve into that of like what that could look like. So having it from our perspective of as like Black and Latinx, LGBTQ plus people, for us to finally be like, wow, like this is how I wish the world would be, even if it totally isn't.
I love that you mentioned that optimism, because I think one of the other things that I really appreciate about this show, and I didn't really recognize until watching this final season, is that what also makes this so unique is the fact that when this show starts, all of these characters are already living in their truths. Like, this isn't about them being in the closet. They've found their community, or they are going to find each other within this world. I mean, other than obviously characters like Angel, who are living in a closet, are living, trying to stay under wraps because of, obviously, fear of violence and also fear of being outed within the modeling industry, in Angel's case, those threats. That's something really real. But in her own personal life, she is very much being herself and living as herself. And I think that is what is another thing I think is really encouraging, is it's telling people that even back then, when it was even harder to be who you are, these people were able to do it. And that is another version of the what ifs, I think. And what could we be if we were able to be ourselves fully and freely amongst each other? So I really, yeah, I appreciate it.
Historically, right, we're not represented on screen in that particular way as Black and brown, queer and trans folks in particular. Mm-hmm. Our narratives are often so tethered to the trauma of it all. And we don't have chances to be joyful and to be loving and even just to be kind of messy and shady queens on TV, right? We have to be so unassailable a lot of times. It's a positive representation, or we're the no-named prostitute, right? Shout out to Law and Order SVU. But with Pose allows us to access something different. That is like one of the examples of what is so different and so resonant about Pose, particularly for members of the community.
Yeah. One thing that seems worth noting, we mentioned Janet Mock earlier, and, you know, this show obviously is a groundbreaking moment, and hopefully it will lead to even more and great projects that, and I hope that all of these actors continue to get work and do so in projects that aren't necessarily tied to them being trans, queer, whatever. But Janet Mock, during the premiere of season 3 of Pose, it was actually one of the first in-person premieres that we've had since COVID happened, gave an unexpected speech where she called out a lot of the inconsistencies between the show itself and what it's promoting and what has been happening behind the scenes, including, you know, more equity for herself and for her trans colleagues and castmates in terms of pay and just representation generally. And this was reported in several outlets. The Daily Beast has a really good breakdown of it, and we can share a link to that on the show page. But the thing about a show like this, and any show where you are breaking ground when it comes to minority representation, is going to have a lot of baggage and have a lot of things thrown on it. And I'm curious what you all think about those revelations that Janet Mock talked about, and also what the show's legacy will be after this. Sydney, how about you?
Yeah, I think, you know, Pose, honestly, it bears the burden of being the first, you know, the first of its kind. And you have to remember, like, the time we're living in as well as trans folks. It's like, how many anti-trans legislation bills have been passed around the country? There's already been 27 deaths of transgender people, mainly transgender women of color, this year alone, and we're not even at the end of the year. So I'm like looking at everything in that context and thinking about the just major burden that the show holds and just how difficult it is to get something like this made and put on TV. And so I look at that and I think about, you know, sort of the larger picture of like historic and systemic inequality. And, you know, I think it's an invitation to a conversation. I think if anything, you know, everything that Pose has put forward to the world really has forced the industry and everyone to really take a closer look at like, what does it mean to really have authentic voices at the table? And what is the value that that brings? Because I feel like generally as somebody who works in industry, for me, it's like we are having this question of like, what is the value of that authentic experience? And how do you adjudicate that? And I think Pose has just brought so much to the table and it has done so much that it's just, you know, it's a very, very heavy burden to bear.
Yeah, I mean, I would add, I think the whole situation with Janet's speech at the premiere, it just goes to show that even these instances where we want to support and applaud, you know, the historic nature of various things, there probably is also room for improvement there too, right? And so what it means is that nobody in this industry can get, you know, comfortable by giving a trans person a job, right? We need to make sure that they feel valued in that workplace. We need to make sure that the coins match them feeling valued in that workplace. And mm-hmm. I hope that with all of the conversation that we're having around polls in terms of representation and opportunity, but also in terms of very real economic gains for members of this community, right? Some of the folks who work on polls, you know, were sex workers before polls, right? And like, we need to discuss the ways in which, you know, making sure that when people show up to set, that they feel affirmed and supported in every single way, from the writer's room to the people in front of the camera and the folks behind the camera, and making sure that the work and the effort and what they're doing for that show is represented and reflected in the pay that they're getting. Because we know the ways in which Black and Brown folks, queer and trans folks are brought in to various projects as a means of giving authenticity to something, right? They're doing all the work, they're doing all the promo, you know, tours, right? But they're not being, you know, compensated in that particular way. And so I think that's something that I'm taking away from this situation. And I think in addition to that, right, the legacy of Pose is one that just requires the industry to do more. It requires the industry to stop acting as if, you know, folks don't have the talent and don't have the capabilities. Give the girls a job, okay? You know, and let them thrive in the ways that they wish to do so.
Well, before we go, I'd love to know if you all have a favorite moment or character from the last three seasons of Pose.
I always just go back to, I believe it was the first episode of the first season, that monologue that MJ has in the school administrator office, where she's like, I'm his mother.
For Damon.
Yeah, for Damon.
I don't understand what you want me to do. We've accepted our fall class. We are full.
No, but he is special. He's got all the talent and all the hurt. You need to be a true artist. Let him dance for you. Give him a chance. Give him 3 minutes of your time. When was the last time you were truly surprised by something in your life?
Who are you again?
I'm his mother.
You know, that scene did it for me. I was like, give her the Emmy. It was a perfect moment. It perfectly encapsulated like what the ball scene is in terms of that family aspect and the ways that folks step up for their kin. And I think that is just one of the most powerful moments of the series for me.
Yeah.
I just have to say two words, Billy Porter, or really three words, Billy Porter forever, darling. That's four. You see somebody who's not only like at the truly this pinnacle of craftsmanship as far as being an actor, the way he truly has made space for a larger conversation about what Black masculinity can be. Mm-hmm. That is what did it for me. That it was like, wow, this man is doing, and he doesn't only do it like, you know, in front of the camera as far as the way that he embodies Pray Tell and really shows you this is what it's like to be older as a Black gay man, queer man in the world. But then to see him when he goes and does interviews and shows, look, you can be a Black man and be fabulous. Yeah. And you can be as beautiful as you want to be. I think for me, especially as a Black trans queer man, just seeing so many other representations of what my Black masculinity can be, I mean, he is the possibility model on so many levels. And I think even for him to disclose his status as being HIV positive took it to another level of authenticity, of truth, creating another opportunity for a conversation and an invitation. Every single time I'm like, Billy, you are slaying me every day. Like, girl, you need to, I can't. So anyway, you know, obviously I think overall, again, the show just has opened up so many opportunities. I'm excited for the future.
Yeah. My favorite character, I think, has to be Elektra, because I think she's evolved so much. She could have been the total shady diva, as you mentioned, Dravel, earlier.
I have seen my share of real men. And I can assure you, I am not looking at one right now.
That was who she was at first. And I think she really had her contours softened. You saw that a lot of the way she is came out of her circumstance, out of her confidence of having to be confident in the face of all of the adversity she faced. And so I just love Elektra. I love all of her takedowns. I love all of her moments where her and Blanca get to just be mother, daughter, and then also commiserate as mothers themselves. Like, I just think it's great. So yay for all these characters. I'm just so happy this show exists. And Yeah. Well, we want to know what you all think about Pose. You can find us at facebook.com/PCHH and on Twitter at PCHH. And that brings us to the end of our show. Thank you both, Travelle and Sydney, for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And we will see you all tomorrow when we will be talking about the HBO Max series Hacks.
It's time to emerge from our homes and get outside.
You have no idea what you're going to see there. You think you might know, but every time there's a mystery there that you're going to unearth.
All this week, Life Kit is headed outdoors with episodes on camping, birding, biking, and more. Listen to the Life Kit podcast from NPR.